at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hay continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams Co. Roofing text line is open. We'd love for you to check in with us. All right, we're going to shift gears from the Atlanta Braves. We're going to talk a little college football, talk a little NFL in this segment. If you've got questions about your teams, if you've got questions really just about anything college football or NFL related, get in with us at 654-ROAR. And John, obviously our Pick'em contest picks are due today. We're not going to run through all of them. I do want to talk about a couple different games, but I do want to take like a giant step back in this segment and just kind of look big picture. We're already a quarter of the way through the season. Like 25% of the season has come and gone, and that's a little bit insane to me. Three games for most teams have already been played. And, you know, for Clemson specifically, obviously we've covered that, you know, up and down throughout the course of all of the weeks that we've had our show so far this season. But there's a lot of other teams that have interesting storylines and a lot of other teams that have had similar struggles to Clemson that maybe we're not giving enough coverage to because of the struggles here locally. For example, Texas has had a terrible offense thus far this season, and Arch Manning has really struggled. Garrett Nussmeier, he's been very pedestrian in comparison to what the expectations were. And John, we were talking about this a little bit off the air yesterday. You look at South Carolina and their offensive numbers, they're worse than Clemson's in the majority of categories, even if marginally. There have been a lot of Power Four teams with quarterbacks that have received hype in the offseason that have just not lived up to the expectations early in the 2025 campaign. I actually don't think any of the quarterbacks that are receiving hype coming into this campaign have lived up to expectations. Even Drew Aller at Penn State has had some bumps in the road. Cade Klubnik has obviously played very poor for his standard. Garrett Nussmeier's dealing with an injury. We'll give him a little bit of grace, but if you would have told me before the season that LSU's first 3-point totals would be 17, 23, and 20, I would have laughed at you in the face, especially because one of those opponents was Louisiana Tech, right? Arch Manning, yikes! You think we got problems here with quarterback? You got problems in Austin at quarterback. I can guarantee you that because that tape is atrocious. And then you talk about some of these other upper echelon guys in the country as well, like Lenore Sellers, who have not been able to get on the same page with their play caller or have very productive starts to the season. So I guess my question to you, what's the glitch here? What's the causation behind these offensive struggles for really the best five quarterbacks in the country preseason?
Boy, if I had the answer, I'd be making a lot more money somewhere else than I'm doing right now. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think there's maybe a little bit of off-season complacency with some of these guys believing like they may have already arrived. Like from a DJ Lagway standpoint, he didn't get to rep anything.
Yeah.
He hasn't repped anything because he's been hurt. He missed all of spring, didn't do any of the summer, and missed like half of fall camp. For Arch, I think we just, as in a college football society here in this country, I think we put way, way too much pressure on the young man. Way too much on his plate. We just assume the last name is Manning, therefore he's Peyton. No, not the case. He's still got to learn how to play the position. Turns out not having Kelvin Banks and Isaiah Bond makes it a little more difficult to get your feet wet with that Texas offense. I don't think Sark has done a great job of easing him into the situation. Like I don't think, you know, Texas did a great job of it. I think he's just been too exposed from a celebrity standpoint. I think it's just too much pressure on him right now.
You know the two guys that I think have lived up to some preseason hype that they got? Mateer and Sawyer Robertson.
Definitely.
On a national scale.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Those would be the two that have impressed me the most, like, that actually were on radars before the season. Everybody else on radars has kind of stunk.
I mean, Sam Leavitt at Arizona State not having a good year throwing the football right now playing that position.
No. Avery Johnson at Kansas State has had a disastrous year.
Oh, they're atrocious.
Yeah, they're terrible.
You know, we talked about earlier before this game came on the schedule, but like, did Notre Dame make the wrong decision by letting Angeli walk?
Yeah.
0-2 Notre Dame. 0-2 Notre Dame.
0-2 ranked Notre Dame, because those are hashtag quality losses.
Like Nico, absolutely atrocious.
Nico's been garbage.
Right, so like, it's interesting, I think, that we are all having to adjust in real time here. I find it to be incredibly fascinating, though, and I don't know what the through line is between these five quarterbacks and these five offenses. Because, you know, you look at, like, for Cade, for example, it was, well, how could it not improve? Everybody's coming back around him, coordinator, receivers, everybody else. It's just not there. Like, I wonder, are we seeing the human element of NIL at play and not the, like, the spending of it all, but, like, the pressures that come with it?
Yeah.
Of being in a town and, like, I know you go around Columbia. There's a lot of Lenora Sellers billboards around Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wonder if just being the guy in these college towns where it's all about you for 8-9 months and everything else, like, I wonder how much the pressures get to some of these guys.
Some of the best passers in the country, to brag on some guys that have actually played well this year, here are your top five total passers thus far this season. Angeli at Syracuse, Robertson at Baylor, Darian Mensah at Duke, Dylan Longren at Boston College, and Jaden Maeva at USC. Three of the top five passers in the country currently reside in the Conference of the Quarterbacks in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And again, we can say what we will about the ACC, and we could riff jokes all day. One thing you can't say is that the ACC never has good quarterbacks, right? This is quality quarterback play year in, year out with this league. And Longren at Boston College, him and Bill O'Brien are just, like, aligned. Like,
yeah, that was a great get for them.
It was. Their roster's not great, and their skill position guys aren't great, but, like, Bill O'Brien tried to just force the Castellanos thing, and he tried to beat all the bad habits, or quote-unquote bad habits, that he had as a quarterback out of him, right? And he's like, no, you have to stay in the pocket. We need to stay on schedule, down and distance. That's not who Castellanos is, right? I think this was a win-win where he was able to bring in his guy out of the transfer portal that he coached at Alabama and Logarin, give him the starting spot. He understands what Bill O'Brien wants offensively. And then for Tommy Castellanos, he's with the guy that recruited him out of high school. And Gus Malzahn. So I think that's been a win-win trade within the ACC for Boston College to go and get a guy like Logarin, and for Tommy C to take his talents down to Tallahassee. That's been phenomenal for both clubs thus far. Other guys that have been lighting it up, John Mateer, we mentioned him. He's been a great player. Joey Aguilar is somebody that's really, really impressed me thus far. But John, I do want to talk real quick, and then we'll get Michael and Paul in here. Tennessee has completely transformed their identity offensively. And I don't think a lot of people realize this. Brooks Austin, he does a pretty good job with a lot of the film stuff. He breaks down all 22 tape from pretty much every game every week. He did an in-depth breakdown on how Tennessee has evolved their offense to an NFL-style offense, and it was fascinating to see. Aguilar's a good player. He's better than I anticipated, but I also did not anticipate just a remontada of Josh Heupel's offense. Like, they've completely flipped the script on what their identity looks like this year after being so run-centric last year. And you know what that leads me to believe, John? That leads me to believe that Nico's a lot worse than we think, because if this if this knowledge level existed last year, right, and they were capable of running an air raid type style like this, you need to trust your quarterback, and it feels like they do now, and they didn't last year.
I think the quarterback part is certainly in play, and the hard part now is with everything that is the disaster that is UCLA football in 2025. It's going to be very hard to truly read that, but I also think you're getting better play on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Like, Brazel giving you all that he gave you last week against Georgia was insane. I think Mike Matthews has given you in three games more than Squirrel White did the last year. You know, I think Brandon Staley's giving you something else that your receivers last year didn't have. Like, they didn't have anybody on the outside last year. It was all Dylan Sampson and downhill running attack.
Yeah.
So I think Nico was a miss by the recruiting services. So I think you may have upgraded at quarterback. I don't know, like true talent, I don't know how you want to maybe analyze that, but in terms of a system fit, you absolutely upgraded.
Yeah.
But I think the main caveat, too, is I think the personnel around the quarterback at Tennessee got better.
There's been a lot of recruiting evaluation misses and five-star quarterbacks and across all of college football in the last 5 years specifically.
It's a 50-50 proposition. They're going to hit or they're going to transfer three times.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get Michael in Greenville in here on the phone lines. Michael, appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for checking in with us.
How you doing? How you doing, Fax?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Good. Fax, I texted in the other day. I was saying the Jags left about 28 to 35 points on the board. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that because early on in the game, if you haven't seen it, Burrow was in the pocket.
Oh, yes.
Trayvon Walker hit his hand, and Burrow threw the ball 3 to 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. To me, that's a fumble. We recovered the ball in the end zone, but there's questionable calls here. They're refs, you know, they reviewed to say there was an incomplete pass. How? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's 7 points there. The missed pass to Dyami Brown in the end zone. He was wide open. He just didn't catch the ball. That's 14. The pass to Travis Hunter, which he had pressure, so he had to throw it earlier than expected. He throws it to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, that's 21. The questionable call with Devin Lloyd being down on the pick six, I don't think he was down. That's 28. And possibly the Brian Thomas Jr., I don't know what he was doing in the end zone when he ducked his head and threw up his right hand. I had no idea what that was.
Yeah, he's got to catch the ball, man.
Yeah, he got to catch the ball. That's 35 points.
Yeah.
We could have blown the doors off the Bengals, but yep. we let them stay in the game. That's what good teams do. We got to put them away. I like where this team is headed. I think right now we're leading the league. I know it's week two going into week three. We're leading the league in takeaways and rushing. So,
yeah.
It's a positive step going in the right direction.
Yeah, and Michael, another thing to consider here in relation to the Jacksonville Jaguars, number one, I love the way Liam Cohen calls a game, man. I mean, offensively, going from Press Taylor to Liam Cohen is like going from a broken down car on the side of the road to a Ferrari. Seriously, he's got such a good understanding of what his players do well and how to put them in a position to succeed. He's really revived that rushing attack that was just completely incompetent the last couple years, and he's made Trevor's life a lot easier with that. And another thing that I am higher right now on Jacksonville after two games, even though they lost last week, I understand that. I think the Texans stink. I think the Texans stink out loud, and I think they're one of the most poorly coached teams in football. The Titans might be the worst team in football and might have the worst coach in football. And I don't know how long this Colts gimmick with Daniel Jones is going to last. I think that this division is bad enough to where Jacksonville can be like ahead of schedule and potentially contend for the division in a playoff spot this year. But again, next year, you're going to be able to have a little bit of cap freed up. You're going to be able to go get some marquee signings. The future is bright in Jacksonville. I just hope they don't jump ship on Trevor too soon because I don't think a lot of this is his fault. He needs to play better, that's for certain. But the infrastructure right now in Jacksonville is the best it's been since you were in the AFC Championship game in 2017.
Yeah, it is. As long as we keep getting better, the offensive line has played a lot better than what I expected. Trevor, he's been pressured maybe here and there, but he's had a clean pocket.
Yep.
He's able to dissect the defense, and he's getting rid of the ball. Some of the throws, yeah, they're off target, but they're in the vicinity of these wide receivers. They have to catch the ball. Yep. He's still leading the league in drops, which is a problem.
Yep.
You play these guys, this amount of money, they have to catch the ball when it touches their hand.
Wholeheartedly agree. BTJ's got to play better, and they've got to get on the same page to try and strike that connection that they had last year for sure. Hey, Michael, we appreciate you checking in. We got to take a quick break, but keep calling back in, and we're all rooting for your Jags here in Tiger Town. I can guarantee you that.
All right, y'all. Have a good day.
Of course. Appreciate Michael getting in on some Jaguar stuff. We've got like 2 minutes before the break. We can get Paul in here. Paul, what's going on? How we doing, Paul?
Just fine, guys. You know, you're talking about billboards of sellers around Columbia. You know, they also have an action figure. I think they sell for like $30 a piece.
Really?
I think they got like 1,500 of them available. I was in Columbia the other day, and I just heard them on local talk shows talking about that. But before I got a theory about these players playing the way they do. You know, sometimes in baseball, and you hear it in football, well, once he signed that big contract, you know, it just seems like he's not the player he used to be. You know, he's got his money now. Can that be going on in college football also? That they get comfortable, they're making $2 million, and They know even if they don't perform up to that $2 million, probably leave and go somewhere else to make money. And I'll take that answer off the air. It's just interesting. I just wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, appreciate you, Paul.
Y'all guys have a good day.
Hey, you have a good day as well. Thank you, man. I appreciate Paul getting in. And we're about to take a quick break here on the program. But, yeah, I think that is an element of this. And, again, I think that people lose sight of perspective often when evaluating college sports in general. And I share a little bit different of a perspective, right, because I'm – went to school with a lot of the guys that are currently on the team. Know a lot of the guys that are currently on the team, right? I'm the age of a lot of the players that are currently on the team. So, like, I get it. I empathize with them to a certain degree because your life is essentially on fire when you're age 18 to 22, right? You're in a new environment for the first time. You're away from your family for the first time. You're adjusting to college class workload. You've got the schedule and the regimen of a Division I athlete on top of that, which is really, really hard work. And then you have the pressure from the media. You know, you look on TV, you scroll on Twitter and search your name, and you got people ripping you up and down. And then you add the financial pressure and the expectations that come with that. Yeah, I think it's more than fair to say that when you put 18 to 22-year-olds under a microscope and you put all this pressure on them and you give, you know, the dollar sign attached to their name, there's going to be some guys that aren't built for it. And there's going to be some guys that are going to crumble with that pressure, man. It's just the harsh reality of the situation. It's a little bit different in the pros because these guys have already graduated from the college level, right? Their frontal lobe is fully developed. They're adults. A lot of these guys have wives and kids and families, and they've got other things that are priorities in their life. Yet when you get these 18 to 22-year-olds in this controlled environment, this is it. This is it. This is all they have right now is football and school. So, yeah, I mean, guys getting paid up front, that definitely is going to impact motivational factors to a certain extent. I think if you think otherwise, you're lying to yourself about the human element of these things, John. Before we take a quick break and get Roddy in here, you got any additional follow-ups on that?
No, I mean, it's kind of why I laid it out earlier in the segment before Paul's phone call is a theory that I think that that's, you know, one of the many things. I don't think there is one single through line between these five quarterbacks and the, you know, how bad they're performing, but I do think that you'd be crazy not to think that this is part of the factor of the pressure of having to, you know, make a return on that investment.
Yeah, there is a human element in this. We're going to take a quick break on the program. Rodney's a Georgia Tech fan, and he wants to get in. His Ramblin' Wreck got a big win this past weekend over the Tigers. We'll take Rodney's phone call right after this.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them. They have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hey, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Reed's Jewelers has expanded their Haywood Mall location, and it's because of their great customers. America's largest family-owned jeweler is in the same location, with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Shop the store and be amazed at how you'll save on diamonds, watches, and more. You're the reason Reed's has grown and moved into their new 21st century expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, delivering superior customer service. Next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at Reed's.com.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace Tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
A fan favorite for almost four decades, Tigertown Graphics has been designing and printing t-shirts in downtown Clemson since 1988. Looking for a vintage vibe with a modern twist? Check out our latest collection of classic styles and current concepts. Find us at 360 College Avenue or shop online anytime at tigertowngraphics.com. For 37 years, it's where Tigers get their stripes.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing tight. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it cry. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, playing tight.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
From kickoff to cash out, ESPN Bet has the tools you need to score more on game days. Bet smarter with stats at your fingertips. Get personalized parlays built just for you. And with your fantasy team synced right in the app, you can back your squad. Right now, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $10. Sign up with promo code USL to get started. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Hour number two of the program continues with Fax and Childress and John Hite here on 105.5 at 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. Texter gets in and says, paying before a job is done is wild. In the real world, the most you pay before is a deposit. Yeah, in most cases, that is the case, 039. I get it. And again, college sports has a ton of flaws right now, right? In an ideal world, these guys are contracted employees, and you're paying them with a game check like you do in the NFL, but the academia element of collegiate athletics really throws a wrench into some of the legality behind can you give a contract versus not, and then what if a kid wants to transfer before the contract is up, and is that his right because of the academic element? There's just a ton of different things that are flawed about it, 039, but you're exactly right. I mean, the only time that I can think of, or at least for a profession that you get paid up front, is if you're like an independent contractor or if you're like a freelance type of person, like with the photography or like graphics. A lot of times those guys will get paid up front and then they'll just do the whole season of work or the whole window of work. But outside of that, 98% of the free world has to work before they get paid. So definitely understand that. Before we take Rodney's phone call, I want to hyper fixate on this text for a second. 140. This is my favorite text we've ever received into the station because I don't see anybody talk about this, and this is a deep-rooted belief of mine for why we see quarterbacks struggle in 2025. COVID still impacting QB development for these college QBs, lost a year of practice essentially. Yes, yes, yes. I say this every time I get the opportunity. Thank you, 2140, for getting in with this. I say this every time I get the opportunity because it's 100% accurate. It is 100% accurate to insinuate that COVID is impacting the development for these college QBs. They lost a year of live training. They lost a year of live reps. They lost a year in the film room. And then, John, to further that point, think about the culture of high school football and the culture of high school athletics right now in the modern day. What is more common right now than it's ever been in high school football? 7-on-7, no pads, no helmets, no contact. That's where you're seeing a lot of this go at the lower level. So these guys aren't getting enough live reps. And then down to youth football. Now we're playing no contact or flag until a certain age. And I get it. Health and safety is the ultimate priority. And I'm not insinuating that I want anybody concussed from a young age, because that happened to me. That's a big part of why I never played football. But at the end of the day, you have to sink or swim against live bodies at some point in time. And you're doing a disservice to these high school athletes to have their primary development coming in an unrealistic 7-on-7 setting where you're not allowed to touch anybody and there's no pressure on the quarterback. I think that this is the most underrated thing that anybody talks about in relation to quarterback play and high school development, because I still think COVID's having an impact. I fully agree with that text.
I don't think it's having as much of an impact as it has had. I think it is gradually decreasing over time. Just to play devil's advocate, is COVID the reason why DJ Lagway didn't get to participate at all in spring and summer ball and didn't put the work in for this year? I got it in 21 and 22. And got it even more in 23. But now, like, some of the players that we're talking about were like sophomores in high school.
I get it.
At that point in time. Like, I understood, like, I'll use Tristan Lee as the example because Coach Sweeney has been very public about his journey. Like, he did not have his senior year of high school. Like, that's a very big deal when you're coming into college. But, you know, now that's almost 5 years ago at this point in time. I think it is a factor. I think it is a factor that is becoming less and less impactful by the year as we get further and further removed from the pandemic.
I think that's fair. Texter gets in and says skill level may be going up, but knowing the game is going down. I think there's some truth to that. And
oh, absolutely. A lot of the scheme and knowledge of the game is going down with transferring, because you have to water down the playbook. You have to water down the verbiage in the scheme for a lot of these guys who just show up on campus in the spring.
I think the quarterbacks suck now. I wish I had a more intelligent way or to articulate it, but I just don't think that these guys are anywhere near as quality as the previous era of quarterbacks we had. I think a part of that is the you know, frequent utilization of too high shells that's become more and more, you know, common, especially in the NFL. But John, we're on like what? Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud have been great players, and Stroud's starting to regress a little bit. Daniels obviously lit the world on fire as a rookie. In the last five quarterback classes, who has excelled? Who has excelled in the last five quarterback classes at the NFL level that you feel like has taken that leap once they got to the National Football League? Like, for me, it's not as much about college. People are going to get numbers in college regardless. But I just don't feel like these guys are as prepared to go to the NFL. And again, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm misplaced. And maybe I'm evaluating this through a weird or a different lens. But these guys that are coming out now, I feel like this is the worst generation of quarterbacks.
But we've changed the formula. And that's the part we're still having to try to figure out. Because it used to be, I need to fast track my way out of here as soon as possible. Now you have guys who are openly taking or going to a place that is not for NFL development because the check is greater.
Yep.
Also, and I think this is a right thing in college football. I'm going to use Clemson as the example. Garrett Riley's job is not to make Cade Klubnik ready for the NFL. Garrett Riley's job is to take Cade Klubnik and win games at the college level.
Also,
and I think you're starting to see that mindset across college football more. No, man, we got to win. The money is too big. The stakes are too big now. It's not about taking 3 years to ramp you up to the league because that's going to help our recruiting. No, man, we need you to light up the passing game now. And so you're seeing, you used to see more of like, oh, we're going to run pro style to set guys up for it. Now you're not doing that anymore. You're running a lot of schemes now in college that do not translate to the next level. It's why we had our jokes during the draft, but it's why like John Gruden was losing his mind doing his quarterback camps with guys because they're not, they're just doing the clap. There's not a snap count. They don't know how to get under center. Like, I think college is trying to win games now because the stakes have become so great. And it's not about how do we get this guy as NFL ready as possible.
Do you
think? Because it's not as beneficial to the program as it once was.
I agree. Do you think the portal also plays an element as far as a lot of these guys are going to two, three different schemes?
Yes, absolutely.
Because in prior generations of football, that wasn't a thing. You're staying with your same coach. You're staying with your same scheme. For the most part, you got your same weapons that you came in with as freshmen.
Right, yeah.
And now you're throwing to completely different guys every year, and you don't have identity within your team, and you don't have that comfort level within your team.
Yeah. It's all a factor.
I think all of this plays into it, John.
All of it is, yes. Everything is a factor into to why, to your point, you don't feel the quarterbacks are as ready to get into the NFL.
And Texter gets in and says, Jordan Love is probably the best one I can think of post-2020, and even he was drafted in 2020. And that was going to lead me to my next point. We are going to take Rodney's phone call here, and we could put a bookmark in this. Sitting is the wave in the NFL. The guys that sit have a higher hit rate than the guys that are rushed into these bad situations. And I also think that a part of this, John, is the give-up culture on quarterbacks is a quicker leash than it has ever been in the history of the league. So we're not seeing an extended sample size for a lot of these guys. If you suck like Anthony Richardson in your first 13 starts, here you go. Your butt's on the bench. Our head coach's job is on the line this year. We're not playing you.
Well, the same stakes are now in college.
Yep.
You can't let a guy develop for several years. Because even in the case when you've let them develop for several years and they may not take all the necessary steps, then you're having a season like we're having in Clemson right now.
Yep. That's very, very fair. Let's take Rodney's phone call. The Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech had a nice weekend. Rodney, congrats on the win, brother. Well deserved.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but just wanted to comment. I mean, I do follow Clemson, too, listening to you guys, because I enjoy the Clemson radio. I live in the Atlanta area, so, I mean, I get to listen to the Atlanta radio sports, which is not a real good thing. just what what you guys put together, just a great show. But
thank you, man. We appreciate it.
I guess my thoughts about Dabo Swinney is, I mean, I know the fans, you know, I get it. I mean, y'all have lost a couple of games this year, but, I mean, the whole picture. And who are you going to replace Dabo Swinney with? I mean, I guess I remember back before Dabo Swinney, I'm old enough to remember it, that, you know, Clemson hadn't always been what product is on the field now under Dabo Swinney. So, I mean, you kind of got to be careful there. I mean, you may get something that you're not quite bargaining for. It may not be quite as good as what you got now. Of course, it could be better. So, I mean, I don't know. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, so I've got actually some numbers for you, Rodney. I'm going to talk Clemson without Dabo pre-2009, and then we're going to talk Clemson with Dabo just to give a little bit of a statistical comparison. Clemson without Dabo, which is pre-2009, had not won 10 games in a season since 1990. They had not won the ACC since 1991. The last appearance in a major bowl game being Rose, Orange, Sugar, or Fiesta was the 1981-82 season, which was also the last time they won the national championship. Dabo Swinney gets hired 2009 to present. Clemson has won 10 games plus 13 times in the Dabo Swinney era. They've won the ACC championship 9 times in the Dabo Swinney era since he was hired in 2009. New York 6 bowls or BCS appearances, 14. College football playoff appearances, 7. Only Alabama has more with 8. National championship appearances, 4. Only Alabama has more with 6. And national championships in 2, with only Alabama with more as 3. So, yeah, again, we're frustrated right now, and the team hasn't lived up to expectations thus far, but everything that's happened in this city, in the athletic department, in the last 20 years with the evolution of that and the infrastructure and the facilities, all wraps back to Dabo Swinney being an elite head football coach. And that's still what he is. We don't have to agree with every decision. We don't have to agree with every comment. But he's an elite football coach with a great track record to prove that. So this place has been elevated to levels I never thought growing up as a kid because of Dabo Swinney. And just really grateful to have him as the head ball coach through trials, tribulations, through it all, man.
Yeah, and I get the privilege of looking at it, you know, from another perspective than a Clemson fan. I mean, I would probably feel the same way as a Clemson fan if the, you know, she was on the other foot. If, you know, Georgia Tech had all the accolades you just mentioned in the last, you know, since 2009, which we don't. But you know, and actually, this season is still not over for Clemson. I mean, win the rest of them, you know where you're at, you know.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, and I think that's the thing that Tiger fans are monitoring right now, Rodney, because you guys have got a pretty advantageous schedule in the ACC. I'm not anticipating you guys to lose two games. I think you would lose one at max, and we wouldn't get the tiebreaker there. But if Florida State beats Miami, it's game on as far as I'm concerned, because if Florida State beats Miami, then Clemson could beat Florida State and technically control their own destiny with some tiebreaker stuff. That's really what the Tigers need right now, but you just need to win your remaining nine games and hope the rest takes care of itself. As it did last year with Syracuse bailing you out.
Yeah, I kind of always think, you know, Georgia Tech may sneak their way in. Hopefully, like you said, the schedule, you know, looks like it's more favorable for Georgia Tech going, but it would not surprise me to see us play Clemson again for us all over with.
Yep, I would. I think it's going to be that was my preseason prediction as well, was Georgia Tech, Clemson, in Charlotte, and I had Clemson is 11-1 with a loss to Georgia Tech, and I had Georgia Tech at 11-1 with a loss to Georgia. So I think that's what we're going to see. I was obviously wrong about the Clemson and the LSU game, but I hope the Tigers can find a way to turn it around, establish some identity, and figure out what the best, you know, methods of the madness is going forward, because you need some answers offensively, and you're not going to win games scoring 19 points per game.
And I hope you're wrong about the Georgia game, and let's hope we don't have another 7 or 8 overtime again this year.
Man, brother Rodney, you're telling me I was doing sideline reporting, walking back and forth between the end zones, man. I got in my car, and it said 33,000 steps from that day after in Sanford Stadium. Then I had to be up at 6 a.m. Because the noon game against South Carolina for Tiger pregame last year. So trust me, I definitely get your pain with that 8 overtimes, brother. It was a long drive back from Athens.
All right, man. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the phone call, Rodney. We're going to take a quick break on the program. We'll talk a little bit more college football on the other side with a bunch of different topics. Stick with us.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Fax and Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day. Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the low 400s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space, or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
This is where it starts. Where your story begins. This is the trail you blaze yourself. And step by step, you get stronger, faster, better. This is where it starts. How will you finish? Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
I'm Eddie Bennett.
For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security do not call, as Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Fiori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for 4 generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number 2 of the program here on a Thursday with Facts and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co-Roofing text line remain open. A lot to discuss throughout the remainder of the program. We're going to have Grayson Mann joining the show in the upcoming segments at the top of the hour. He'll be in studio. So excited to have Grayson here to talk some Clemson football. But John, you know, let's take this segment to steer away from Clemson. Since we are having Grayson in the final hour, let's talk a little bit of National Football League, if you don't mind. We got big games on the horizon this weekend. I know tomorrow is going to be a college football-centric show where we usually will get NFL in on the back end, but I feel like today we could take a couple segments with this one in the final segment of the program to give more in-depth breakdowns of some of these NFL matchups since we might not get the chance tomorrow. Let's just start tonight. Prime Video, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Dolphins at Bills. Bills are an 11.5-point favorite. Is this one of those games where Miami, you know, shows up and plays, you know, maybe above their level to get it more competitive than anticipated? Or is this just going to be Buffalo by a million and this is going to be over in the mid-second quarter?
I think it's going to be the latter. I think it's going. This one is going to get ugly. You know, I think we always talk about a lot in college football who's going to be the first coach to be fired. We don't really ever do it in the NFL. I think McDaniel down there in Miami has a chance to be canned before the end of the month.
Yeah.
I just... His press conferences are odd. The nature of just everything going on within that franchise is just odd. I probably will not tune into much of this game tonight. I think Buffalo takes care of business pretty handedly. However, if this is a competitive game and Rice and Charlotte is not delivering, you know, my viewing will go elsewhere. I think the college game tonight with a 2.5-point spread with the team on the road being favored is more intriguing to me than Buffalo being an 11.5-point favorite at home, which is an obscene line in the NFL.
Yeah, if you're a double-digit favorite in the NFL, that means the team on the other side is a dumpster fire. Just to be, it's the most competitive league in the world with the most parity, and it's not even close. Like, there's no parallel as far as parity goes in professional sports with the NFL.
Right now, going into the weekend, the next biggest lines after that, just to put into comparison, are Green Bay at Cleveland, where Green Bay is a 7.5-point favorite. And the Saints going to the Seahawks, where the Seahawks are a 7.5-point favorite.
For sure. If you guys have any NFL questions, comments, more, want us to break down a matchup, 654-ROAR on the phones and the text. This will be the final time the phone lines are open until the final segment of the program. Let's shift to that 1 p.m. slate this upcoming Sunday. Green Bay, as you said, getting 7.5 on the road against Cleveland. 2-0 Packers, who have looked like a true Super Bowl contender to date, against an 0-2 Browns team that plays significantly better at home. Jim Schwartz is the best defensive coordinator in the National Football League at home. The data would back this up all the way back to his days in Philadelphia. The issue, he has no one on offense. Like, seriously, no one. 41-year-old Flacco's been a borderline disaster at QB. I think Gabriel and Sanders are both going to get a look at some point this season. As I said in the preseason, Gabriel will be the first one to get the look as he came in towards the tail end of last game. You know, to be honest with you, I think the Browns are going to cover this number at home. I think the Green Bay is going to win by 7, and I think that Cleveland covers by the hook, like 27-20 or maybe 20-13. I do think there's a little bit of coming back down to earth to a certain degree for Green Bay. I don't think they're just going to blitzcream everybody all year, because that's not how this league works. And again, Schwartz is a genius on the defensive side of the ball. His units always play super well at home, and I anticipate Myles Garrett to be able to get some pressure on Jordan Love and make their life a little bit more difficult on offense. So give me the Packers in this one, and give me Cleveland to cover by the hook. Let's say 27-20.
That's a lot of points for Cleveland to score in this game.
It is.
That's a lot of points. I don't see it. I think Green Bay, I think it's more like 27-10. I think the Browns are very, very bad, and I think this Packers defense is the best in football right now.
Man, they're really good right now, aren't they? Sheesh. Yeah, Micah Parsons. Whew.
Well, you know, it would be a really good thing for a franchise to draft somebody like that and hold on to him.
Man, can you imagine the Cowboys if they had a guy like Micah Parsons on their defense? That could be what could push them over the hump.
It would probably be very helpful. It would be very helpful.
Our intern, Nick Costello, just got in with an interesting stat for tonight's game. He texted me, outdoor divisional high totals. Totals of 49.5 or higher outdoors between divisional teams are 61% to the under. Outdoor divisional high totals in prime time, same as above in standalone games, totals are 29.9 to the under, which is 76%. So the trends would indicate that the under is the way to go tonight and not necessarily picking a side against that spread. So thanks for that, Nick. And yeah, with what the Dolphins have put on tape thus far and the way that the Bills defense is actually playing after they shut down the Jets last week, It could be a rock fight tonight. It could definitely be a rock fight tonight. That's for certain. Moving further into the NFL slate this upcoming Sunday, 654 Roar. Clemson Brad gets in with a 14-10 Green Bay prediction. Man, that Browns defense is really good, but yeah, maybe I am predicting a little bit too high scoring with Flacco and those guys getting to 20. But a texter does get in on something, and let's go ahead and kind of like jump a little bit ahead, John, to this game. This is a big one, and I want to talk about this in the upcoming segments as well with Grayson Mann. Texter gets in, my Patriots taking on John Steelers this weekend. Sorry to disappoint, John, but the Pats are going to keep getting better. I got the Patriots 24-20. You're going on the road to New England. Drake May is coming off the best game of his NFL career. Pittsburgh is still a marginal favorite. I feel like this is a natural bounce back spot for the Steelers, and I feel like Aaron Rodgers is probably primed to play some pretty good football. The third down defense last week for the Patriots was atrocious. That's the key to the game for me. If they can get off the field on third down, the Pats have a good chance to win. If Rodgers can manage down and distance and execute on third down, I like the Steelers.
Do the Patriots run the ball well?
They don't. They do not run the ball well.
Cool. I think the Steelers really take care of business here. We're all excited about Drake May's performance last week, and deservedly so, but that was the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, who are arguably the worst team
in football. Drake May is not something that worries me about this game. Not in the slightest. The Steelers' offensive line, that is something that worries me greatly in this game, because Broderick Jones has been a very bad dog and not very good at blocking people. The Steelers' offensive line is one of my biggest worries in this game for sure. I don't think either team's going to run the ball all that effectively. It's going to be a whole lot of chucking it around. I do like the Steelers to win the game on the road, but I have some reservations here.
Yeah.
But Drake May is not one of the things that worry me, because Drake May stinks, and we'll talk about it in the next hour with noted Drake May fan Grayson Mann.
We're going to clamp that up. The Steelers are this Sunday. Let's talk a little Colts-Titans. Does the Linsanity run continue for one more week with how bad the Titans are? And,
yes.
And is it a Linsanity run, or like at what point?
Wait, with the punter or with Indiana Jones?
With Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay.
Actually, let's talk about both. Are the Colts going to punt this weekend?
I think they will.
Okay, I think they will as well. I think it's the first punt of the year coming for Indianapolis.
I just think you can't go three games. Oh, granted, you're playing the Titans. You have a chance.
Yeah, you are playing the Titans. I think the Titans are the worst coach team in football. I've said that. I think they need to fire Callahan and get somebody, any other warm body with football acumen in front of Cam Ward to help his development. I just think that this is a lost cause this year in Tennessee, and just hope you don't get the kid killed and he can establish some confidence. That's really the main goals of this year. It reminds me a lot of the Bryce Young situation here, one in Carolina. Don't think there's a ton Cam Ward can do to have success with the wins and losses, or maybe even statistically this season, but only four and a half point favorites going on the road are the Indianapolis Colts, who have been one of the most impressive teams in the league to date, albeit not against great competition. Is Daniel Jones a good quarterback, or is Shane Steichen just game scripting the way that he needs to right now to put him in positions to succeed, or a combination of both? Like, what's your evaluation right now on the Colts?
Well, I think it was, like I said earlier, they played the Dolphins week one, so I think that really helps a lot of things. You know, Clemson brackets in, who's worse, Tennessee or Miami? It's Miami. I don't even think it's abundantly close. And you got a nice win over the Broncos last week. I think this is a decent football team. I think Daniel Jones is doing what he's asked to do. I don't think he's putting the ball in harm's way a ton of the time. And I also think you're getting quality run game from Jonathan Taylor, which is really helping Daniel Jones out. You know, I don't think he's... They're trying to create the most explosive plays in the world. But I think that they designed a really nice offense for his skill set. And they've created an offense that is giving him confidence right now. I never thought in the year 2025 that we would see Daniel Jones throw for 300 yards.
Yeah.
But we already have.
I think Shane
Steichen's impressive.
I think Shane Steichen's a genius, and I've said this.
Well, yeah, he worked for the Eagles, of course.
Ever since he got I mean, listen, I watched the guy call plays for my team. I credit Shane Steichen more than anybody else with winning the Super Bowl last year for the Eagles, as ludicrous as that sounds, because...
Wait, last year's?
Last year's, and I get that sounds crazy, but hear me out for a second. Jalen Hurts went from the worst passer of the football in the National Football League to an above-average passer with 1 year of Shane Steichen development. He completely changed the outlook of Jalen Hurts' career. When Nick Sirianni gave over play calling duties in the middle of year one to Shane Steichen, when you take that data point and you go to the end of Shane Steichen's career as the play caller in Philadelphia, you're talking about two completely different players in relation to Jalen Hurts. I think he has the mind and he has the knowledge to protect his quarterback's weaknesses. He does it better than anybody else in the league, in my opinion.
So Anthony Richardson was that bad.
And I think Anthony Richardson's one of the worst players to ever play in this league. Like, I genuinely think that's my assessment and where I'm at right now, because I watched Shane change Jalen Hurts' career. We're watching him in real time change Daniel Jones' career. And again, we got a long way to go, but people forget, they were knocking at the doorstep of a playoff appearance and one game away with Gardner Minshew. And then it was the same thing last season. They've been one game away back-to-back years at these Indianapolis Colts with some of the worst quarterback play in the league. if Jones can just be a game manager that protects the football, which is all Jalen Hurts was in 2022 under Shane Steichen, then the Colts can make the playoffs and win this division. Long way to go. Need to be better defensively, but I like what I'm seeing thus far in Indy, and I'm really happy for Shane because he deserves it, man. Great dude, really good mind, really sharp football mind, and he's gotten a bad run of things the last couple years with the way he's been thrown to the fire playing quarterback. So excited for Shane and excited for what the future holds. I'll tell you where I'm going to be tuned in at 1 p.m. on CBS. I'm going to go ahead and call my shot because I called this before the season as well. Carson Wentz isn't giving this job back, folks. Carson Wentz is not giving this job back in Minnesota. I think that this is your new starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, and I think that he's not just better, but I think he's significantly better and more equipped to run this offense than J.J. McCarthy. Again, McCarthy's 22. He has a long career ahead of him, I'm sure, and I get that they took him with the top 10 pick, and there's some political warfare involved as to who the starting quarterback actually is. Carson Wentz grew up a Vikings fan, going to the games. This just screams, Wentz is going to pull the Foles on McCarthy. I'm being dead serious when I say this. I've got a gut feeling. The minute I saw the tweet and the minute I saw the press conference with Carson Wentz and just the grin on his face, he is salivating for a chance to play in a Kevin O'Connell offense and throw to these weapons. And you know what? Somewhere right now, 17-year-old Faxon is smiling. And I've just got a giant grin on my face because all I wanted as an Eagles fan was Wentz to Jefferson. And I, just to be candid with the audience, I damn near cried when we took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. I collapsed in my living room like I had just lost a loved one. That's how deep that was to me in real time. Seriously, I was inconsolable for multiple days when the Eagles passed on Justin Jefferson. So I'm just going to have a smile on my face watching Carson Wentz play football this weekend. I might be the only one on the planet that still believes in this guy, but I don't care. Give me 11 over the Bengals this weekend, and I think he's going to keep that job, man. I think this offense is going to hum, and they're going to put up like 400 yards of total offense this weekend, John. I really do.
That's a bold take that I can't wait to revisit on Monday.
We're going to revisit on Monday. Hold me accountable. I'm an 11 guy. I'll always be an 11 guy, man. We're rocking with 11 until the day we drop around here. I'm not giving up yet, Carson, if you're hearing this. Also helps that they're playing Jake Browning, who threw three picks last week. So definitely a different ball game than playing Joe Burrow, that's for certain. Grayson Mann from TigerNet. TigerNet Thursday is coming up on the other side of a quick break. We'll be previewing the Syracuse matchup and more right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.